It's amusement. The word muse means to think, and the prefix ah means not. Not to think. To keep our minds from working. To keep our minds on something else other than what really is gripping their lives. Now, I know many of you came tonight for various and sundry reasons. Some of you came because a girlfriend came. Some of you ladies came because a boyfriend came. Some of you came because you had group pressure on you. Everybody was doing it. It was a thing to do, and those guys just kept pounding on your door with that whatever it was for this conference under your nose. And so you came. Some of you just came to get away from a weekend, nothing more to do. So you just figured you'd come up and find out what all this business of Christianity and fanaticism and all that is all about. You know, some of you came because there's a sin in your life. And you really want help. It may be something in your life that you know that God wants to change. And you're expecting that this weekend. Some of you have come with great questions about life, about God, and about the Word of God. Some came with tremendous turmoil such that you can hardly sleep. Some of you just come in total desperation as to what the next day is going to bring. Some of you just plain want encouragement and fellowship. And you know, there are a few here tonight, I'm sure, who just want to find out what a Christian really is. Because you've never had the experience of having joy in your heart that comes only from God. But you know, one thing is sure, and that one thing is that not one of you tonight is here by accident. You see, God never makes a mistake, and God never has an accident. In Proverbs 16:9, it says this, "A man's mind plans his road, but God directs his steps." Now, you may be here tonight because of what you think chance or by circumstances, but every one of you who are here because God has brought you and because God has something particular for your life. You know, God is sovereign, and there's no way we can outfox Him. The Scriptures say that a man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So not only has He brought you here, but He's brought you here for a purpose, but He also knows what you're thinking right now. And He knows your heart. And you know what God does is a permanent thing. Your coming here this weekend is something that can never be changed. You know, it's history. You came. Now, you may leave. But the fact is that you have come and history is unchangeable. And what happens this weekend may make a mark in your life that changes the course of everything you do. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, it says this, "I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear Him." In Daniel 2:20-23, right along in there, it talks about God's ruling in the nations. And as we see the events that are going on, some of you watched the Apollo missions in the last few days. Some of you have been observing what's been happening in Vietnam. Some of you have observed earthquakes through the news media. And you know, all of that God knows about. And we might think the world is in turmoil. It is because man has tried to thwart God's plan. In Daniel 2, the verse I mentioned a moment ago, it says that He removes kings and sets others on their throne. He gives wise men their wisdom and scholars their knowledge. God is the source of everything that is good. And your being here this evening is good because God has a particular plan for your life. And I'm going to encourage you tonight to open up your life to God in a particular way. You know, even though God has a plan, it may be that you are totally opposed to the plan that God has for you this weekend. Or perhaps totally ignorant. You may not know why you're here. And the course of this weekend, though fun tonight, could be a weekend of turmoil, of heart struggle, as God presents to you things that you have never thought of before. And there may be a great battle in store for you this weekend as you are personally confronted not only with the claims of Christ for those of you who do not know Christ, but for Christians, the burning question of what you're going to do with your life and how God can have control of it and how the very frustration of perhaps leading a defeated Christian life can be solved in Jesus Christ. But you know, we may not want God to do this work. And so therefore, there may be just a little inner bloodshed that goes on. And God sometimes has to wound to heal. And so I think you can expect God to deal with you this weekend. That's what we've been praying. And that's why we have this conference, that God would do a work in your life. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles for a few moments to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'll give you an opportunity to turn there because I want you to be reading it with me. Starting in verse 28, the last three verses of the chapter, Jesus Christ is speaking and he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." As I have prayed over what I would share with you from the Scriptures this evening, in a very brief time, this is the verse that God laid on my heart, that every one of us have come here tonight with some sort of a load on our lives. And as I open the Word of God, it says, "Come." You know, that is an action of your will to come. It was an action of your will, a decision tonight, that you came to this place. And God also wants us to come to Him and make it an act of our will, definite. Not something that just kind of oozes there or grows by osmosis, but He says, "Come." Throughout the Gospels, Christ was saying, "Come." He says, "Follow me, come, leave." And it's always a point of action. Christ never approached men on the basis of thinking it over, but he approached them on the basis of the need of their life and the action that they must take. So what we're doing this weekend is not a little meditation session. It's not a time where we just kind of reflect, but it's a time when the claims of God are presented and God is moving us to action. The next thing we see here is that the point that he wants us to come for is because we are weighed down with something. We're weary, we're tired, we're heavy laden, as it says in this scripture passage. I don't know what it is that's weighing on your heart tonight. You may not even know. But I'm sure over the past month, many of you have felt at one time or another something that was weighing heavy upon you. Perhaps it's a sin or just dissatisfaction with your very life. And God says through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, "Come, you who are weary and heavy laden." And the promise that follows that is, "I will give you rest." You know, rest is something that we always look forward to. It's something that we always want to sleep, to relax, until we find out that just laying down or stopping bothers us more than it helps us, because then we start thinking. And so that isn't the rest, obviously, that he's talking about. He's not saying, "Come and lay down and get an 8-hour night's sleep. Don't work so hard," or whatever it may be. But it's something deep down inside that he expects us to have rest in. The next thing we see is, "Take my yoke upon you." Notice the first verse began with "come." an act of your will to come and present yourself before God. And the next thing he says is another act of your will. He says to take. God never asks us to come unless he has something to give. And it is in this context that he wants us to come, be willing to take what he has to offer. And he phrases it very interestingly. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now a yoke, as it's placed on a team of oxen, is there to keep the two together, to bind one to the other, so that the work can be done. And because of the yoke, the work is easier. And Christ says, come and get in the yoke with me, because that's where you're going to find rest. Because he goes on and explains it further, and it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now this word learn is very interesting, and it's going to turn out to be one of the themes of our conference this weekend. I wonder if we're really learners. You know, most of us either fall into the class of spectators or criticizers or learners. But the hardest role of all is that of being a learner. Because we all come with preconceived ideas, and we come with prejudices, and we come even to the Word of God to prove our own point, not to learn of God. And one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that we can be a learner and then go out and apply what we learn. And so I'd like to confront you with a couple questions tonight as you prepare for this weekend. And I'd like you to pray over these. One is, are we willing to have God teach us? And then, are we willing to put it into practice? You know, teaching is not telling, and learning is not hearing. But learning, in its real sense, speaks of the action that results from the knowledge that you gained. And I think it's fair to say that unless the action results, nothing has been learned. The other thing is, are we already turning off things that you suspect may be confronted, that you may be confronted with in this conference? Are you turning it off in your mind? Are you putting a little wall around you right now for fear that someone, the Holy Spirit, may get inside and disturb you and confront you with what you are thinking and with what God wants to do in your life? And that's very easy to do. I've done it so many times myself, to just simply turn off. And then he goes on and describes himself. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. What is the yoke that Christ asks us to take with him, take upon us? It obviously is not the one we're carrying now, because he says that he will take ours and he'll pull the weight. I believe what he is talking about here is the fact of just entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. As I've been reflecting about my own relationship with Jesus Christ over the past day or so, and thinking what I would share of my own life with you tonight, I went back a long time ago. And though I knew nothing about it, when I was just a few months old, my parents were divorced. And I had no father that I ever saw. I met my father for the first time when I was 13. And as I grew up without the influence until age 9, without the influence of a father, only the influence of a grandfather. And I can remember times with my grandfather that disturbed me very greatly. I loved him very deeply, and I had a very great concern for his life. But I can remember walking home in this little town in Iowa in the late at night with my grandfather drunk and weeping. And I can remember going into a tavern and pleading with him that he would come home. and pleading with him before he went in. Because you see, he had no rest in his soul. And I had real fear of what was happening because I did not understand why there wasn't something more than this. When my mother remarried, when I was 9 years old, I had a stepfather whom I did not know. And we left the surroundings of a little town of about 100 and went into what to me was a metropolis out in Spokane, Washington, about 200,000 people. And I'll tell you, that was an experience for me. And once again, I experienced what I felt to be a fear of the unknown, a fear of being somewhere where I felt I did not have any control. And it's interesting that during these times I thought about God. I remember back in that little town, I went to Sunday school every Sunday, but I never heard about Jesus Christ in the way that I could understand that he could do something for me personally. I remember that when we went out to the state of Washington, we didn't go to church at all. But one time, someone talked me into going to a small community Sunday school near my home. And in that little Sunday school, I went just regularly from that time on, because there I was seeing something real. I had a businessman who taught my class. He was hard-nosed, he was a disciplinarian, he wouldn't let us get away with anything. But I observed something in his life that I'd never seen in anyone else. That is that he loved me. Because he gave himself so totally to me. He was a man, by the way, who had infantile paralysis. Very difficult for him to get around. But yet he took us hiking, swimming, fishing, spent time with us, and what a bunch of fellows he had. It was just boys. And we tried his soul, I'll tell you that right now. But you know, God used that, because Bob would sit down around the campfire. I remember one time down in the Blue Mountains in southern Washington, and he would take the Bible and he'd read it to us and he'd pray. And I remember in the Sunday school class, he'd take the Word of God and he'd share with us, and he'd say that, you know, every one of us have sinned. And he'd go to Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for the first time in my life, I understood that I was a sinner and I was guilty. See, many of us realize that we do something wrong, but somehow it never occurs to us that guilt accompanies that wrong. Real guilt before God. The other thing I remember his sharing with us was how to pray. And I can remember, as though it were yesterday, Bob sharing in this little class about seven of us kids and teaching us how to pray. He says, you know, when you pray to God, just like addressing a father or writing a letter, and you say, Dear Father, because that's what he is to you. And then he shared just how we can just share naturally what we wanted to tell him. And then he says the only reason you can pray was because of what Jesus Christ has done in dying on the cross to give me a clear access to heaven. And so that's why we close, that we are praying not on our own merits, but in the merit of the name of Jesus Christ. That's not just a formula. It's not just something we say because it's done in Christian circles. It's because it's true that Jesus Christ is the intercessor to God for us. And without the person of Jesus Christ interceding to God for us, we have no right or part in God himself. And I remember coming home from one of these outings one time. We'd been out at Lake Wandermere outside of Spokane. And as we pulled up in front of our house, the habit was that before we took off to our homes, that we would pray. And a young fellow that Bob had helping him in the class from one of the local colleges just asked if there were any of us kids that wanted to ask Christ to come into our lives. Now, I'd thought about this. I'd sensed that God had an answer. I had seen that I had sinned, and I saw that Jesus Christ could meet that need. But I was pretty stubborn, and I'm sure that went on for months and months. But then I recognized that I needed Jesus Christ. And when I was asked the question, I said, yes, I'd like to pray. I was in junior high school, and there in that car, I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I left the car with no great sensation, but I knew that what I had done had been real business with God. And I went straight into my house and knew that the first thing I had to do was to share that with my mom and dad. And I didn't know what they'd say because they had not done very religious things or had expressed interest. But what I did was just to tell them what had happened, that Jesus Christ had come into my life. And that was hard for me, but I did it. And they didn't kick me out or anything. I thought that was very nice of them. But they accepted it. They got to thinking I became a little bit of a fanatic. But you know, one by one now, my mother, my stepdad, all my brothers, my real father, and my stepmother have all come to know Christ over the period of the last 17 years. And that gives hope, because many of you in this audience tonight have situations where your parents do not know Christ. Can you hear me in the back all right? Okay. In fact, I stopped by just to see my dad and my stepmother tonight. They live in Longmont, Colorado. And they were. And the last words that she said to me as I left this afternoon on the way up was that she's praying for their son. So she knows that God will not take him until he's come to know Christ. So, you know, God is a God of miracles, and God can work in our lives. And so when I read that verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," that really means something to me, because that's precisely what God has done in my life. Now, there are many other scriptures that we could share tonight. I think of one in Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now tonight, in preparation for the rest of this conference, the whole purpose of what I've said tonight is so that you can prepare your own heart. First of all, there may be some of you here who have never received Christ as your Savior. Now I'd like to ask you to carefully consider that tonight, because the weekend is basically for those who are Christians. And I'd like to get you in on the blessing. However, you may not really know what I mean by what I have just said. And so I urge you tonight to go and grab someone that you know and someone that you trust and ask them just to share with you what it really means to be a Christian. And then to make that step tonight. If you're here as a Christian, I want to urge you tonight to spend a little time praying. In fact, I'll give you a couple minutes to do that just at the end of the meeting. And then I want you to do it later too, to confess any sin that you know of in your life to God. Clear the channel. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then after you've done that, I'd like you to commit this weekend, not for the group, but your weekend, your time here, to God, and ask Him to drastically change your life. Now you may be afraid to pray that, because you know God answers prayer. I can remember at one time or another praying, thinking of as I went to bed, "God, wake me up. If you wake me, I'll promise that I'll get up." And that scared the living daylights out of me the next morning. I woke up and I sprung out of bed because I had promised God that I would do it. Now, I'm lazy, and so I try and avoid praying that at night because I don't want to get up in the morning. But you see, I know that God means business. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? That's God's promise in Numbers 23:19. So if you pray, God's going to do something. Even a prayer in weak faith. You know what blind faith is? That's finding your cabin after you leave this room tonight. Because it may take just that to get there. But faith, as weak as it may be, God will respond to it. And so right now, I'd like you just to bow your heads. And first of all, just take a moment. And just tell God what you're thinking right now for a little bit. If there's any sin that you know of that's blocking your relationship with God, confess that. Some one or two of you may want to actually receive Christ right now because you've never done it. Then if you are serious about it, ask God to drastically change your life this weekend. Father, we count these prayers to be an accomplished fact. You said before they prayed, I answer. And God, we trust you tonight that you answer prayer and you do change lives. Now, Lord, you've got your purposes in this meeting and in this conference. You've got your purposes with every man and woman here. So tonight, Lord, I pray that we would simply learn from you and then act on what you teach us. Keep us, Lord, even from sin during this conference. Protect us physically. Keep our minds from wandering to things that are not of you. Make our hearts, Lord, really responsive to the preaching of your word. Really anoint Marv Smith as he shares with us. And God, help us to talk to one another about you. We commit this to you, Father, knowing you are faithful. And knowing that it's only because Jesus Christ died for my sin that I can pray this tonight. In his name, amen.